You may be seated. Kind of nice to see a little sunshine out there today, huh? Every little bit helps. We needed the rain, though. Good afternoon, and I just want to welcome everybody to the AHJC Ministries in Soldotna, Alaska. We want to welcome our online visitors and our visitors here. And we're glad to have you. It's a joy to see a new face and know that people are watching us online, that they're getting something out of the Word of God. And we appreciate not only them making the effort to listen, but God opening those doors so we can reach people that may be thousands of miles away from here. So praise God for all that. Buck had his implant a couple of days ago, and he's having a hard time with that, so keep him in your prayers. They said it might take 2 or 3 months for them to really get that thing where it's working right for him. And he's probably in more pain right now than he was before he had it done. So they start low and they come up. They do whatever it takes to help the person that they implanted in. And he's got a lot of ailments, and I feel bad for him, really bad for him. And he sends his love, and just it really bothers him when he can't be here, and he wants everybody to know that. He's got his, I think, 81st birthday coming up here pretty quick. So maybe we can make him feel kind of special on that day. I have to go down and get my physical at Mayo Clinic here, so I'll be gone for a little bit, but I'm not going to be gone any longer than I have to be. And if Buck's not here, I'll have Randy lead prayer if somebody needs prayer for whatever reason, if they're going somewhere, if they're not feeling well, or whatever that might be. So you could... I don't like leaving Alaska, period, but I really don't like leaving this time of the year. But we've changed our reservations 2 or 3 times, and this is the only way I could work out. So I got to do what I got to do. Just stay as healthy as I can so I can do what God's called me to do. I mean, that's scripture there, too. Do all you can do to be all you can be for God. Tonight I was talking a little bit about the potter and the clay and the vessel that it produces with the care of the potter. And if you know anything about that, which I knew very little bit of until I started looking at it, but there's a lot of little impurities in the clay, and they have to keep working with it. Sometimes they form it, and it's not quite what they want it to be, so they reform it, and they wet it down, and they do a lot of little different things to make it to be a beautiful vessel that they can put on their mantle or somewhere in their house that everybody can see that comes in there. And that's the Bible likens it to how God does with his people, how he works with us, and all our little impurities, he works and tries to work them out. And the name of this, the name of the teaching is going to be, what kind of vessel are you? Are you one that's easy to work with? Because there's different kinds of clay that doesn't take a whole lot to shape them, and then there's some that's got a lot of extra impurities in them, and it takes quite a while to get those all out. But in the end, we want to be a workable, beautiful vessel for God. We want him to change our lives. We were all broken vessels before we came here, before God put his Holy Spirit in us and give us the power to start changing, where he could actually work with us and change us into something that's not only a beautiful life, but a beautiful interaction with other people. The way you interact and your example to others shows what kind of a vessel you are. And it's when you're easy to work with, when you have meekness and you're humble before God, it's a joy to work with you. If you're hard to work with, and every little thing, he's got to go, you know, okay, this here, this that, and just take you by the hand and just lead you through it. Well, I don't know. It actually winds up being a lack of faith and trust in God. But that's frustrating. I read a little bit about these folks, these potters, and they've had to redo clay a bunch of times. If they get one that's not working, well, sometimes they throw it away and get another one. And we don't ever want to get to that point with God, but it's pretty cool the way God uses the natural things of this life to reach us, to explain to us what's going on in our lives. And every one of us has got our bumps and bruises from this life. And a lot of the scriptures that will be brought out tonight go right along with the songs we sing, that we're here for a purpose. This is not our home. It's what we do in this life. We're working towards where we're going to spend eternity. And we want to give it our best shot. We want to go to a place where we don't have any more tears, no more sorrow, no more tribulation. There's a lot of things going on just in our body, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And we have to be there for each other. And I know we are. We're really working hard to get together the way God wants us to be. And Satan's going to be right there to try to hinder that. So we got to keep that in our mind too. Think positive about what you're going through. And, you know, some people are naturally negative about stuff. The glass is half full. But if we're not that way, we need to ask God to help us to be positive, be a positive soul for God. That being said, let's go to a few scriptures here. Our first scripture will be in Acts 9, 13th chapter we'll start in. And you take Paul here, even though he thought he was doing a righteous thing, he was so far off base on this here that it wasn't even funny. He was definitely a broken vessel. But God loves to take a negative and make a positive out of it. That brings more glory to him than anything else could. Because it's our interaction before we get to God that shows what God did for us after we received the Holy Ghost. Anybody that knew you before and meet you again when you had the Holy Ghost for a short period of time, they know you're different. Or at least they should know you're different. And all we want to do is give God the glory for our lives and thank him for what he's done for us. And that's how you thank him, by the way you overcome things and the way you interact with people and show his glory. That's what makes the potter joyful. And we all want to make the potter joyful, don't we? Anyway, Acts 9, 13th verse. Then Ananias answered the Lord, "I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for me and my name's sake." Well, that shows you right there, Paul, if not one of the most spiritual apostles that ever was. And he had a lot of things that weren't of God that he thought was of God. So when we come to God, we got so many things to unlearn and so many things to relearn. It's not even funny. And most of us here have been here long enough that we know all these things. We know that we got, but knowing them and doing them are two different things. Because that natural is right there to, if fight against the potter. And we want to be meek before God. We want him to have his way with us. Because only then will you have the peace and joy that he wants to give us. It's not his, if we're not doing good, feeling good, we don't have any joy in our life, it's not because God doesn't want us to have it. It's something that we're not doing right. And that's why he says to look in the mirror. And this word of God right here is the mirror. So we have to take our inventory, and it needs to be taken every day, because you can do pretty good in the morning, and by evening, when you start getting a little tired, you might be borderline on what's pleasing to God and what's not. Let's go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, just one verse, verse 14. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 14. For many are called and few are chosen. Why is that? Why doesn't God choose this one or that one? He calls us. It's our choice. It's our choice to line up to this word of God. And if we don't, he's long-suffering and patient with us and everything. But there's a line that God says, I've worked with you long enough. This piece of clay is not working out. I ought to give me another one. And none of us ever want to get to that place where God has to put that clay in the trash pile and get a new lump. None of us do. And believe me, it's possible for any of us that to happen to us. You're not in till you're in. This is an everyday battle, but I'm glad about that scripture, one day at a time, because it talks about the evil is sufficient thereof. There's a lot going on in our lives. There's a lot going on in the world. And it's up to us to separate that out and do what's right in God. But you can only do that with the power of the Holy Ghost, and you can only have that kind of power if you stay on your knees before him and study his word. This life in God is actually a very simple life. We make it complicated. It doesn't have to be as complicated as we make it. If we put everything in its right place, he said, your burden is light. If you'd let him carry the load instead of trying to carry it yourself and make all the decisions yourself and not pray about anything, and then when it goes south, then you get on your knees. We do a lot of stuff to ourselves. It's not God's will that we'd be as miserable as we are sometimes. It's, living for God is a beautiful thing if we put everything in its right place. But that's a learning process. I mean, none of us are perfect, and I'm up here talking right now, and I might fall flat on my face an hour from now. You never know. I don't plan on it, and I'm not. If I do, I'm going to get right on my knees and get it right. It's not going to hang on for a couple of days, me trying to figure out what's going on. I'll know instantly that I crossed the line. And I don't want to hurt God. He's been too good to me. He's been too good to all of us. Anybody that's got his spirit and he's been in there for a day or two, you don't want to hurt him. And the longer you live for him, the more you see what kind of a person you are, how your natural is, and you're more aware of the things that could hurt God. We talked a little bit about that a week ago or so, that the longer you serve God, the more you see all these little glitches in your personality and the way you interact with people that they can't be. They can't be. And the older you get in God, the narrower that road gets. So this is just taking our own inventory. I'm taking mine. I'm not taking anybody else's inventory but mine, but I am putting the word of God out there. And this is what it says. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. God's word tells us exactly how to walk in this world and how to act and react in any situation. I mean, that, you know, there's before I started living for God, I didn't know how to do a lot of things. I mean, as far as, I didn't know anything about myself, for one thing, but I didn't really know how to interact with a certain group of people. I mean, if they were just like me, I could interact with them, but if they were different than me, I didn't even say too much because I didn't really know how. But God doesn't do that to us. He lays it out for every kind of personality. This word is for everybody. There's no respecter of persons in this word. He says even a wayfaring man can understand enough about it for not only salvation. After you get salvation, this thing just explodes. It's like he's talking to you. I mean, it's amazing, man. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, but I remember picking up Bibles and I get frustrated. I just slam them shut and lay them down. We go on, just try to make another day. And I know everybody probably didn't feel exactly like that, but there's no way that you can study and read this Bible and get what God wants to give you without the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You can understand enough about salvation, but the deeper things that God wants to show you as a person, that he wants to clean out of you and make you a beautiful vessel, you need the Holy Ghost to change. He wouldn't have had to come and die on that cross if it wasn't that way. And as terrible as that death was and everything that he had to go through, he did it for us. He said, I knew you before the foundations of the world. And I loved you before you even knew me. You think about in your life, how many people would ever really go the extra mile for you? I mean, really, when it really costs them something. And especially their life. Yeah, there's not too many. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. And he's talking about more and more love and joy. If you just do all you can do to obey this word, it just grows. You grow as a person. You grow in love and compassion and mercy, but you also grow in meekness. God can reach you a lot easier when you just want, I don't care, I just want your will, God. And he can reach you. But when you start, well, if it wasn't for this, and, well, you know, I'm this, and I don't go there. And, you know, just human nature's got a million excuses not to obey the word of God. But we don't have any real ones. If it's in here, we need to do it. And it's in here because he cares about us, not because he's trying to be a dictator. He didn't have to spend all, just think about your own life. How much patience and love and mercy God's had towards you. Every one of us. Just think about all the times you let him down and he's right there to forgive you as soon as you said, I'm sorry. In minutes. Our God is an awesome God. He's loving and merciful, but he does have another side to him. And in this day and age out there, it's all about everything's love. You know, don't do anything to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, this Bible says that his word is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to cut right to the marrow of the bone. Well, that's not a pleasant feeling. Just the conviction that you feel from God's word is it doesn't feel like love. I'll tell you, it hurts. But it's out of love that he does it. The same way with our children. I remember at a certain age, going out of the house, people knew I was leaving, going downtown and get in trouble, but nobody knew about it. Come home, and I didn't even realize it until I got older. I wanted somebody to stop me. Stop me. And they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And it cost me. It cost me a lot. But I've taken the negative and really, really tried to make a positive out of it because the experiences that I've put on myself, I've been able to share with people who've done the same thing. And it's helped them. And that's all I want to do is help people. That's all each and every one of us want to do is help people. help people to get to where they can spend eternity with our Lord. Because that's what this is all about. It's not about this going here and doing that. Yeah, that's cool when you can do it. If you don't get out of step with God, that's great. But really our life is dedicated to God and working every day to get to this point where we can spend eternity with Him. And as we said before, it can happen any day. I don't care what age you are. You can be 50, 90, or 15. You could be facing eternity at any of those times. You have no control over that. So, once you hear about this, you need to get as close to God as you can. Receive His Spirit, like it is in the first two chapters of the book of Acts, and go on from there. He gives you the power to change, to be pleasing to Him, so you can spend eternity with Him. Because there's no other place that you want to be. There's a couple places, but you don't want to be that other one. You know, thank God that He made a way out, man. And we were doomed. Mankind was doomed. And I know all this stuff you hear since you're a little kid, it's kind of, yeah, I know. But this is real. This is, when you stop and really look at this stuff, it's real. This is real life. And God's got to be first. He's got to be first. He said, I'm a jealous God. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess this vessel in sanctification and honor. He tells us right here, we need to be a holy people in everything we do or say. We know we have to give an account for everything we do and say. So, what does hinder? Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, and as we have forewarned you and have testified. For God has not called us to uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. I mean, that pretty much tells us everything we need to know about our life. Verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, you know that. And I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And we know love is not a, oh, hi, brother, I love you. It's an action word. But we're not going into the 13th chapter of Corinthians today, but love is an action word. And if there's no action behind it, it's just a word. That's scripture. Let's go over to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. We know all these scriptures. We know all these scriptures. But Paul, all the way through all his teachings, he just kept reminding the people, because our natural just, yeah, we know the scriptures, but you just kind of put them aside. And when we put them aside, we start letting down sometimes, because they're not at the front of our mind. Second Timothy, what do I got here? Oh yeah, Second Timothy, the second chapter, start in verse 19. Nevertheless, this foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, that God knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I mean, all the way through this Bible, it tells us to shore it up, man. Shore it up. You let a little bit off here, a little bit off. Don't get back into the groove. That's because he loves us. And he says you can't have blemishes on you and make it in this rapture this we're looking forward to. Verse 20, but in a grace house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, you don't want to be one of these dishonorable vessels, for sure, with all these blemishes. And we all got problems, we all got our stuff, but if we're working on it, we're giving it our best shot, God's not going to do anything but help us. But if we're not, we let that go and lay it off to the side, we are definitely asking for trouble. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. This is what God's trying to work with us on and get us to this point. There's no end to this. We're never going to get to the point where we don't have to purge ourselves and check ourselves out and pray about it. We're never going to get there. But if we get to where we're supposed to be at that time, where we're at spiritually and we're doing our best, God will take us with him. But perfection, that's going to come as soon as that trumpet sounds. But right now, we got some work to do. 22, flee awful youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, we don't know that's love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I mean, you just don't have any agenda. The only agenda you have is for the what's good for the body of people and anybody else that you meet. When you got a pure heart, people know that. They feel it in you. When they know by your action and interaction with them. But you don't have an agenda. You just, if I can help you out, fine. Our agenda really is to share this Holy Ghost with everybody. But there might be a lot of other things we have to do before we even get to that point. Like, go to the store for them, open the door for them. There's a million things out there. And God puts stuff in our pathway to do. And when he does, it's up to us to do them. You can't be bashful about just being a human being to another human being. I've opened the door for somebody at the post office the other day. A lady had four or five packages. I didn't think too much about it, but she couldn't quit telling me thank you. So, just all these little things. You just never know when it's going to touch somebody's heart. And that's what we want to be. We want to have a pure heart towards each and every one of us and to everybody we meet. Verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. And we know that. This political stuff and all that, and just other stuff. Stuff that you can't do nothing about. I've had people ask me some of the craziest questions about the Word of God. If they ask them in sincerity, really want to know what it teaches, I'll do my best to give them a scriptural answer. But I won't give them one that's not scripture. But if they just trying to find fault, pick things apart and all that stuff, the Bible says dust yourself off and go to the next one. I don't mean you get in a big argument with them and all that stuff. You say, hey, this is what the Word of God teaches and I can't change it for you. If it's not what you want to hear, well, I can't help you. And then you can leave peaceably and you're putting it back on them. And they might think about that. Yeah, you know what? The guy didn't get mad at me or holler at me or nothing like that. Maybe there is something to this. That's how we have to interact with people. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness. There's that word meekness again. How do we react to the things of God? Even in the things of the natural, how do we act when our boss tells us he wants us to move something for the 10th time that day? How do we react to that? Hey, I'm tired of this stuff, It tells you that you got to be a good example no matter where you're at. And even some of this stuff doesn't make any sense that you're asked to do. They're paying you. It pays the same whether you move it 20 times or once. So, and besides that, they know when they're pushing it. So, by your reaction, People are going to know that, hey, this guy's got a little something different, or she's got a little something different, or, you know, most people, you can't act this way without the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You can do part of it. You're not going to do it all. There's no way. The Bible teaches from the heart, the mouth speaks. It's true. I don't care. If you got stuff inside you that's inner, it's coming out somehow. Some way, it'll find its way out there. And it usually comes out in a little guilish, sneaky way. But you'll know that that person's still got a problem with this. I don't care if you went to communion or not. If you don't let it go, it'll come out. And we're accountable for that. We are all accountable for everything that comes out of our mouth, but also everything that God puts on us as far as looking at ourselves. And we don't, we're all right for right now, but I remember that. I don't trust them because of that. You know, it's a good thing God doesn't look at us like that. This place would be empty, and every other church in the world would be empty. Verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure, we will give to them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And that just talks about our interaction with people. Maybe somebody that's having a hard time, it maybe fell flat on their face. It talks about how to nurture them a little bit and say something positive to them. Hey, he's also a God of forgiveness. You know, I'll pray with you, whatever. Just to get them back in the fold so they don't lose their soul. God doesn't want anybody to perish. We know that. But I don't think we always think about it when we're interacting with people. And we should. It's something. This stuff don't come automatic. I mean, you have to think about some of this stuff. You have to stop for a second and think, you know, what about that? How should I interact or react? And, you know, just be friendly to people. Be kind and nice to people. That opens a lot of doors, just that part right there. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. I'm staying right in this area here because this all works together. I couldn't get out of it. Believe me, I tried for hours to change my style here, and God just kept bringing me back to here. So I finally figured it out, all this stuff that I've been going through. I keep trying to put this out there the way I think about it, and it's not the way God wants it out there. So finally I give in, and then bing, bing, bing. It was not that big of a deal to get all these scriptures together. But I'm new to this. I'm learning every week. Praise God, he's helping me. And I want to be meek about it because I want to feed God's word to his people the way he wants it done, not the way I think it should go out there. And so that's what I'm trying to do. And praise God, he's, like I said, he's helping me. Because I'll tell you what, this is the last thing in the world that I would think that I'd be doing. It's about behind this pulpit. I have to laugh at myself, and I think, man, it's humbling to be up here. I'll tell you, it really is humbling. I don't see myself that way. I'll put it that way. I don't see myself behind the pulpit. But if God thinks I can help his people, well, I'm going to do whatever I can do. But I know how I am in the natural, and I come down from here last week, and I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and I said, I'm a character, ain't I? Yeah, that's how I feel about myself, man. I don't take myself too serious, I'll put it that way. But I guess God does, so I'm doing what I can do. And I love all you guys, and praise God for listening to me. Second Timothy, the 3rd chapter, first one. And this is pretty much what's going on in the world right now. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Boy, this parent thing is really out of control. If you see anything on the news about children and their parents, it's the things that go on in families now are really scary. I mean, you used to hear about a few things way back when, but nothing like it is now. But you know, when you start studying the scriptures, you see that God knew all this stuff was going to happen. And you see that, you know, even though it didn't happen way back when I was young that much, you see that it was going to happen, that's how it is, that spirit of Satan is in this world, how it can corrupt families. And, you know, they don't even know how they got there. They don't know nothing about God. If they don't have this and that spirit of God to work with, they're doomed. That's why it's so important for us to reach them if we can. Because it's terrible, man. If I had a child that even talked to me like you hear some of these people talk about their parents and stuff, I don't know what I do. I mean, I'm glad I'm in the age I am right now, because it's tough. And I do pray for everybody that's got kids here and everywhere else, because this is a tough time to raise a child. Tough time. I don't think it's going to, I know it's not going to get any better, but I've never seen anything like it. And praise God, we got some good kids. We got some really good kids. And it's just, we all should stay on our knees for these kids, because they need all the prayer they can get. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Boy, you see the violence in this world right now? It's unreal. Despisers of those that do good. Man, that isn't the truth. Traitors. It's pretty hard to find anybody to have your back anymore. That's just in the natural. It's somebody that already stepped up the plate for you. It's that doesn't happen out in the world very much anymore. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. And that can be men too. That doesn't have to be just women. That can be anybody. He said they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I know some people that know the truth, or did at one time know the truth, and the stuff they put out there now is really twisted. Their understanding is not there anymore. It's because they've drifted away. And they got to this point. They understand with their own natural knowledge, not according to this word of God. I had to talk to somebody a while back, and I says, you know, you used to know the truth. Right now you're leading these people down a pathway, a dead-end street. And all he says to me, well, we just won't talk about it. I go, well, I'm gonna, if you open the door for me to talk, I'm going to say something to you about it. Because when somebody's soul's in the balance, man, and we know better, we got to say something. I responded to a thing on Facebook one time. This fellow's always talking about Christianity, and he's a Christian and all that stuff. And so we had a little private conversation, and I said something about, well, he doesn't go to that church that's got the truth anymore. He goes over here. And he says, well, you know, but this guy's always acting like he's a real... I says, hey, you know the truth, and you don't tell him? Well, you're in a tough place right now, man. You know this truth of God, and somebody tells you something that's not in here, and you don't say nothing about it. How do you think God feels about that? You got to step up to the plate, man. You cannot turn, oh, I don't want to ruffle their feathers. You got to step up for God. And I'll tell you, that breaks my heart even thinking about it. not saying something when some of you, I couldn't do it. I could not do it. Verse 8. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And they don't have to be a reprobate yet to cause a lot of problems, let me tell you. They can lead people astray before they ever get to this point. But they shall all proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, my love and patience, persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Syria. With persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. See, you can trust God no matter what's going on in your life. You can trust him. It can get pretty tough, but he's gonna be there for you. He does have your back. Amen? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So yeah, if you're not ever getting any persecution, you might want to figure it out. Because if you step up to the plate, you're gonna get some persecution. Everything's not gonna be, oh, I love you, and you know, let's do this and do that. You say something according to the word of God when you're involved with people and they don't get upset with you. Praise God. If they do, it's because they don't go along with us. But you do. If you're going to be one of God, you go along with us. We can't walk the center line. We're either living for God or we're not. And we said it before, it's showtime. This is serious. We've got to be a light in a dark world. And it's not going to be easy to step up to some of these situations. But we must. It's not kind of be nice. We must do it. We have to do it. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. At least you don't have to turn too many pages, right? We're winding down, so don't. Second Timothy, the 4th chapter, starting with verse 1. You know, that's another thing. Why do we do this? I mean, why do we do everything we can do daily to be pleasing to God, to be a holy people? Why do we do that? There's a reason for it. There should be a reason for it. We'll talk about that in a minute. Verse 1. Charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. None of your own ideas right out of here, right out of this word of God. That's why it's so important to know the word of God, because you can take them right here to this word. They might have many ideas, but if it's right here in black and white, they can't resist it. And if they do, there's nothing you can do about that. But when you don't make it up, you say, well, this Bible says this. Well, when they see it in black and white, that's what happened to me. I just thought about that when I saw about, as soon as I heard about receiving the Holy Ghost, I got goosebumps all over. But when I saw it in black and white, whoa. I'm 33 and a half years old, and I've never heard this. Been all over the country, worked around all kinds of preachers, been raised certain other religion, and never heard about the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues that give you the power to live the life the Bible says you got to live, to be pleasing to him. Well, how come it took me 33 and a half years to find it? I look back at it now, and because of the calling in my life, I had to go through all these things I went through. Whether I went through them on my own because of my own choices, it didn't make any difference. I haven't met one person in 43 years that I can't relate to about my life because of this right here and the things I went through. And so, okay, Lord, if that was what it's for, I mean, that's the only bright spot of my history of my life is I can use it in a positive way now instead of a negative way that it was before. And praise God, when I'm back around an area that I was raised in, I don't even have to open my mouth. If I just see somebody, they know that I've changed. And it does take 2 seconds and I'm witnessing to them. It just, I mean, it's automatic. It's unreal. I mean, it's a blessing to me. I mean, I just, because I'm going to call evangelist, I'm just on top of the world. I feel like I'm going to explode half the time when I get to tell somebody about that. Verse 2, chapter 4. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We don't ever want to have a teacher like that. We don't want to have, there's nobody ever going to get behind this pulpit, this teachers like that. It's not going to happen. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. That's what we want to be in this place right here. That's what I was saying. What do we do all this stuff for? What's the reasoning behind giving up this and giving up that? Because every time you give up something for God, he usually got 10 things that you didn't even know you wanted in the other side of it. I love things now that I never even thought about before in my life. God is, when he gives you a new heart and a new mind, it's real. And when people want to go back to their old stuff, that's not scripture. That is not scripture. He says, I come to set you free. Free. You know, free means free, not under bondage again to people and things that happened in your life before you've met God, really met God. I'm going to read verse 6 again. For now I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew exactly what was going on. He was getting out of here. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Every one of us here and everybody in the world want to be able to say this here when it's all over with. Whether you're 10 years old or 100 years old, this is what you want to be able to say. And the sad thing about that is there's millions and millions of people that don't, not only are not doing this, they don't even know about it yet. And it's up to us to reach them in some way. I'm going to finish this up. My last scriptures in Revelations, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. And this is what I'm looking forward to. And everybody that is looking forward to his coming back and his appearing, this is what they're looking for too. And if you don't feel this way, you need to get a little closer to God. Because somebody that loves God and really wants what God wants and all that stuff, this is how they feel. They want to see this new city. They want to spend their life, eternity with God, not life, eternity. Revelation is the 21st chapter, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, this is not a fairy tale. This is actually what's going to happen. I know you watch the Disney Channel and all this stuff, but this is real. This is the real stuff here. And we got to look at it like it's the real stuff. Because this motivates you. This motivates you. This is, you work for a paycheck. I mean, if you don't get a paycheck at the end of the week, you get kind of bummed out. You live for God for all your life, and you don't get this here. You're gonna, at the last minute, you're going to lose it. No, we got to make it, every one of us. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And praise God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my sons and daughters. This is our promise right here. This is why we work so hard, to make God happy and to take everybody we can take with us when that trumpet sounds. That's up to us. This is the motivation and the fire that we need in our body, our midst, to reach out to people, man. Just whoever, it don't make any difference. God looks at the inside. He don't look at the outside. We don't know who God deals with and doesn't deal with. We can do this thing. We can do what he called us to do. Anyway, I love you. I really do love you. And I thank you for coming to church and listening like you do and taking this in and working on making the changes that the Bible says we got to make. If you got anything tonight that you need prayer for, or if you just want to get closer to God, whatever the case may be, this altar is empty. If you don't have the Holy Ghost yet, come on up here and we'll pray with you. And after service, we'll have the prayer for me and Lynn. And I think Randy's going to lead prayer, so that'd be good. Okay, thank you.